morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central on Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking some Packers football this morning, as we do every morning. But we have a special guest joining us to kick off the show. We have Mike Gross, coaching director for Pro Sports Experience, which run the official youth football camps of the Green Bay Packers. Mike, how are you doing this morning?
Excellent, sir. How are you?
Very good. I'm glad you could join us. Now, Mike, you've already had a couple camps so far this summer and have a couple more to come, but how are they going so far?
Outstanding. Outstanding, yes. We've actually run four thus far. We run two each week, starting back in June, and we've got six more starting next week in Kenosha, Oshkosh, Glendale, Green Bay, Elm Grove, and in Madison.
Fantastic. Now, I think one of the things that's really unique, and of course this is a Packer show, but I wanted to talk on the Packer alumni that come to each camp and work with the kids. Who are some of these former Packers players who come and help out?
Sure. Some of the notables, safety Johnny Gray, Jay Schroeder, Paul Rudzinski, Kurt Larson, John Anderson, just to name a few.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Like former Packers safety, Hall of Fame safety, Johnny Gray, and Packers Hall of Fame. So those are some great names. I mean, how do you get guys like this to come out and work with the kids?
Well, these guys are fathers and family men, and they want to give back to the community. We've got our line right in with the Packers, and they have these names of the guys who want to participate and want to get back involved in the game and give back to the great game of football.
Now, in addition to the Packers players, these camps are run by professional coaches as well, correct?
That's correct. We've got high school and college coaches. A lot of these guys are state qualifying coaches that have been coaching for 20 plus years and bring just a lot to the game and a lot to the younger kids.
Can you just tell us some details about the camp? What ages are they for? And I guess we should note these are not contact football camps either.
Correct. They are non-contact football camps for both boys and girls, ages 6 to 14. The camps are Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. And they're chock full of excitement. We run station-based training in the morning, and then in the afternoon we get the kids together and we play competitive games and run skill challenges.
Just tell us a little bit about Pro Sports Experience. What does that organization do in general?
Sure. Pro Sports Experience is we're the back engine management company for the Packers. In other words, we're a direct arm of the Green Bay Packers. Running their youth football camps. We work hand in hand with their community relations department, and we do some other small events for them as well during the non-camp season.
Can you tell us a little bit about how football players can be registered for the upcoming camps? If parents are out there listening, they're interested, they want to sign them up?
Absolutely. Several different ways. The best and the easiest is probably going to packerscamps.com. The other would be calling into our office. That number is 866-246-9800. We have plenty of availability still at our camps. We have a couple of them. Our Green Bay camp is well over 100 kids, and last year we had it was unplanned, but a special guest. So you never know who might show up at camp. We actually never know if a current player might be there. Can't guarantee that.
Can you just hit one more time on the camps that are yet to come, what locations they're at?
Absolutely. Starting next week, July 9th through the 13th, we're in Kenosha and Oshkosh. The following week, July 16th through the 20th, we're in Glendale and Green Bay. And then we wrap up our camp season July 23rd through the 27th in Elm Grove and in Madison. And as I mentioned, the parents who are interested can go to PackersCamps.com.
Mike, I thank you very much for joining us on the show today to talk about the official youth football camps of the Green Bay Packers. Thanks a lot, and best of luck. Yeah, I love what you guys are doing.
Thanks a lot, Brian. We greatly appreciate it. Go Pack.
All right, go Pack, go. Mike Gross joining us here on Railbird Central this morning to talk Packers youth football camp. So the official youth football camps of the Green Bay Packers. If you've got young kids out there, like he said, like ages 7 to 14, around there, this is a great thing for them. You know, after that, they're teaching skills at these camps. You know, it's non-contact. It's getting the fundamentals down. And, you know, when they reach that 14 years or old or so, they're starting to get to high school. Maybe then it's time for the contact camps. But this is for the kids, the fundamentals, focusing on that. Got former Packers players coming, talking to them, helping them out. Really great stuff. So glad to be having Mike join us on the show this morning. Let's move on. We're talking, it's now July. We're talking Packers football. This is the month when training camp starts. So exciting here to be talking Packers football here this morning and talk about a couple items that have been making news the past several days in terms of the Green Bay Packers, things that were published over the weekend that got a little bit of attention. Probably the biggest story we had over the past 24 hours, or over the weekend, I should say, is the story published by actually the former Packers beat writer Greg Bedard of the Boston Globe. And he interviewed former Packers head coach Mike Sherman. You know, the basis of the story, the crux of the story, was, Sherman being reintegrated into the NFL, if you will. Now the offensive coordinator of the Miami Dolphins. Of course, he joins the staff of head coach Joe Philbin. Joe Philbin, a former Packers assistant, was the offensive coordinator last year and last several years before that. And it is kind of an interesting story how actually, you know, they were on the same staff together in Green Bay when Mike Sherman was the head coach. But, they had actually met. Joe Philbin was a high school student of Mike Sherman's, you know, years and years ago. And that was where their relationship all began. But, it continues to this day. And when Philbin was named the named the head coach, he asked Mike Sherman to be the offensive coordinator. But, it's a long story in the Boston Globe, a long column. And you know, as part of the conversation, eventually it turns to Mike Sherman's days with the Packers and Brett Favre, of course, is a name that comes up. And it was asked kind of, what's the future with Brett Favre and the Green Bay Packers? It was such a messy divorce. And, of course, everybody, I think, if you're a Packer fan, you're well aware of that and know that. And Mike Sherman was asked, what's going to happen? Is there going to be a reconciliation someday? Are they going to bury the hatchet? And he says, yes. He thinks Brett Favre meant a lot to the Packers organization, and the Packers organization meant a lot to Brett Favre. So it's kind of a mutual respect there, and thinks that they'll come together someday without mentioning any particular time frame or anything like that. And it's things we've talked about here on the show in the past. You know, just last week we were talking so much about Brett Favre because he had the interview with the NFL Network that was released in a multi-part series that was perhaps well overdone. But still, it got us to talking about Brett Favre, his relationship with the Packers organization. Is the number going to be retired? When are they going to induct him to the Packers Hall of Fame? You know, we could talk about all these things till the cows come home. It's a thing, it's going to be an ongoing conversation until these things probably actually happen, until Brett Favre's number is actually retired, until he's inducted to the Hall of Fame, whether it's the Packers and the or the Pro Football, it's going to be something that we're just going to continue to talk about probably. And every time somebody famous like Mike Sherman is interviewed and asked about it, we'll bring up the conversation again. But I mean, it's inevitable. I think the Packers are just waiting for a cooling off period. You know, time heals all wounds, and you know that's you know what's going to happen. I mean, if you don't know Packers history, I mean, long time ago, Curly Lambeau, the founder, one of the founders of the Packers, you know, made the Packers into what they are. He turned his back on the organization as well. You know, went to go coach in Chicago. There's kind of a messy divorce there as well. But I mean, nobody remembers that hardly anymore. You know, they play at Lambeau Field. The stadium is named after the guy. And, you know, he's got his statue outside the entrance to Lambeau Field along with Vince Lombardi. And even Vince Lombardi himself left the organization too. Went to coach the Redskins at the end. But, I mean, for the most part, when you give your heart and soul to an organization, as all of these men did for the period they were there, I mean, those things, you know, don't go overlooked. I mean, time tends to heal all wounds. I think, you know, after a while, people tend to forget, the misgivings, the hard feelings, and look back at the good times. And I think the Packers are just, you know, in a cooling off period. They're going to let some of this time pass before Brett Favre is indeed welcome back. I think he will be. I've said before, I'm not exactly in favor of the team retiring his number. But still, I don't think my opinion's going to sway anyone. I think he will eventually be welcome back. But, you know, I've said before, I think he deserves to be inducted to the Packers Hall of Fame, the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I'm just not so sure I'd want to retire his number. But, you know, I realize people disagree with me. And, you know, that's fine too. We can disagree. That's all right. But that's making the headlines over the weekend. Brett Favre, the future of the Brett Favre and Packers relationship, and where it's headed, where it's going to be. So check out the Boston Globe. We got a link to it in this morning's Packers Daily Links. It's our lead story today. But beyond that, kind of a overlooked story. I don't know overlooked, but just probably didn't catch a lot of people's radars. A column was published over the weekend at the National Football Post, nationalfootballpost.com. You know the story. It's the website started in part by former Packers Vice President Andrew Brandt, along with agent Jack Bechta. They got so many great writers over there. Former Packers safety Matt Bowen is one of the columnists of many over there. But published on that website over the weekend, a column on Ryan Grant, an interview with his agent saying basically that they're not looking toward there's basically no chance of Ryan Grant signing with the Packers. And I guess that it's just the first time I think, you know, Ryan Grant's agent, Alan Herman, has come out and kind of almost put the kibosh on it officially. I think they were kind of always, you know, leaving the door open to the possibility that it might happen, but it just doesn't look like it's going to. And it is just a very weird situation. So, I mean, again, there's a link to it in this morning's Packers Daily Links. If you scroll down to the bottom of the live blog, or bottom of this page you're watching us on right now, bottom right-hand corner, there's a link to this morning's Packers Daily Links. Click it, open it up, check it out. Go read it at the National Football Post. It's weird because it starts out by Grant's agent, Alan Herman, saying he's confident, saying how confident he is and that Grant will hook on with the team sometime this year. He'll be playing somewhere in the NFL. Says it matter-of-factly, without a doubt, it's a given almost. That's kind of what you read into it, at least. That's what I read into it. But then, the whole rest of the article, the column, is just, how much doubt there is about Grant's future, about how there's no future of him signing with the Packers, basically. And that's the feeling you get based upon the quotes that are presented in the article. There's one of these things where they said two teams have offered Grant contracts, but the financials haven't been correct. So Ryan Grant, his agent, have turned down apparently two offers to sign on with the team. And we've talked about this before on the show either. I'm not buying it. I'm not buying what Alan Herman is selling. That's ridiculous. So seriously, you're a free agent and you've had two offers, but because they're not offering you enough money, you're not going to take it. I don't buy it. I don't buy that teams have been offering contracts. Maybe they've been offering tryouts, things like that. Come in, let's see, let's find out what's going on. We know that Ryan Grant actually worked out for the New England Patriots over the weekend, but it wasn't, nothing happened. They decided, who did they sign? Joseph Addai, was it? Anyhow. And there was rumors that Ryan Grant was going to work out with the Lions, and there was rumors that the Lions had offered him a contract. But, it's just making lies, I think. In terms of, has he been offered a contract? I don't think he has. If they are seriously passing on contract offers, I don't think that's very smart either. If indeed Ryan Grant really wants to continue playing in the NFL, if he wants to retire and he's had enough, well, fine. Okay. I can buy that. If you feel like you want to retire, well, go ahead. Jersey Al checking in on our live blog this morning. Good to have Al Bracco joining us. If teams have been offering purposely lowball contracts to Grant, why not keep looking? I can see Grant wanting to look, but I'm not so sure he's going to find anything other than a very, very low contract out there. That's my take on it, as I don't think he's going to get anything else other than a lowball contract. NFL teams now are basically set heading into training camp. Maybe they feel the best way to go about this is wait until training camp, wait till injuries start to happen, and then they need you. And then you're a commodity. Maybe that's the case. I still can't see, any team offering a whole heck of a lot, even in that situation. They haven't signed Ryan Grant already. Teams are going to wonder out there, is a street free agent, is an undrafted rookie any worse off than signing Ryan Grant, especially given the success undrafted rookies have had in the NFL at the running back position. User Baron_Nick Baron, commenting on our live blog, sounds to me like Ryan Grant doesn't really want to play. I don't know. I think he does, but he certainly has a weird way of showing it. Or at least his agent has a weird way of showing it. Yeah, it's just very weird how this whole situation is playing out with Ryan Grant. And he seems like such a good guy. Such a good guy. Nice guy. A guy who deserves to play in the NFL if anybody does. You know, based upon what I know about Ryan Grant, and albeit I certainly don't know him personally. But, you know, there's, you know, there was the very highly publicized story about Ryan Grant getting to know that kid Ryan Luxem and that lived in the Milwaukee area. Young kid, very sick. And I forget off the top of my head here what exactly the problem was. But, you know, Ryan Grant had touched this kid's life very, very closely. And he passed away and still, you know, is very closely connected with the family and raises money, I believe, or a scholarship in the child's memory, things like that. You know, great things that Ryan Grant did for this family and this kid. Just a good person in general. So, I mean, you want to see him make it. Jersey Al comments again here on our live blog. That's silly. He has one last chance to make money. He won't make anywhere else. Nick Barron asks on the live blog, did Levens ever come back from the same type of injury? The ankle may not be 100% and may never be again. Yeah, I mean, you know, that I'm sure that's playing into it a little bit about teams' interest in a player like Ryan Grant, a guy who's had an injury history over the course of his career. You know, last year, of course, though, in 2011, stayed relatively healthy the whole year, played the whole season, mostly injury-free, you know, coming off the year before, the Super Bowl season, which he basically spent the whole year on injured reserve. So he bounces back. I mean, he showed last year he could stay healthy, so, I mean, that's a positive. But, I mean, certainly I think teams take that into consideration and are like, you know, here's a guy with an injury history. There's risk involved in signing a guy like this. So, you know, how much that plays into it? Well, certainly it might be playing a bigger part than what we think based upon the little amount of interest Ryan Grant has had out there on the free agent market just in general. So, who knows where this is going? You know, I do have to think it that he'll be in the NFL somewhere this year. I guess I do tend to agree with that. But it could be a situation, like we said before, where it does take an injury somewhere to get him on there. But anyhow. Yeah, I mean, here we are, now July. It's our first episode of Railbird Central in the month of July, the month the Packers start training camp. So we are a couple weeks away from doing so. Looks like in late July. What is it, I think? July 24th is the shareholders meeting, and then 2 days later, that on a Thursday, they start their first training camp practice. And that's the beginning of football season. So got just a couple weeks here to rest up, recover. I'm sure people are going to be taking vacations and, you know, from players to, I mean, the whole NFL, no matter the whole country, pretty much, no matter who you are, unless you're a professional baseball player right now or golfer whose, you know, main seasons are in the summer. But I mean, from players to fans, to the media, to coaches, to the front office. The 4th of July is vacation time. One last chance to rest up here before the season gets underway, and it's just months and months of on end of football. But yeah, I mean, it's good to get a little rest right now before football begins, because late July comes, it's all football from there on out. So, you know, at least our nation is obsessed with football, and it's just going to be all the time on SportsCenter, you name it. Heck, in late July as well, the NFL Network is going to debut their morning show. Nothing but more NFL coverage. And, you know, that's a good thing if you're a football fan. If you love the NFL, you love football, You love football talk. You're just going to get more and more of it. Oh, my. Coverage of football is just simply mind-blowing how, you know, it's just everywhere ramping up their coverage. You know, I'm just blown away by some of the things that are happening in the world of media, like NBC coming out with their own dedicated sports network now, and how much, you know, time and effort they're putting into NFL programming, you know, kind of intended almost to be a little bit of a rival to ESPN. I'm not sure how realistic that is, or at least, you know, might take quite a bit of time for them to rival an organization like that, but still, just the NFL coverage of things like that. There, Jersey Allen, Lieblog, how about the NFL releasing the All-22 film? Yeah, I mean, hardcore football fan, you got to be really hardcore to want to like this, but to those who are, to those who really like scouting, things like that, really understanding how, you know, players, how X's and O's work of football, are getting the All-22 film, you can get ordered directly from the NFL. You got to pay for it. But yeah, just another example of the craziness of NFL fandom, how far people will go. How about the NFL.com hiring? If you're a blogger, you might recognize some names like Greg Rosenthal and Brian McIntyre. Hiring those guys to run the NFL blog at the NFL's official website, NFL.com. Those guys do fantastic work. And it's, you know, continuous blogging, commenting on the day's news, things like that, bringing it to people's attention from a national perspective, from a league perspective. There's no end to saturation point yet. There has been no foreseeable end of the tunnel as to how far fandom will go in America towards the game of football. And you count college football in it too. Now going to a playoff, the amount of money that they're going to make, you know, broadcasting a national football playoff, although it's modest, a 4-team playoff to begin with, but they're finally taking steps in the right direction there as well. So again, just you're a football fan. You got to love all the coverage you get of the game. It is never ending. And I hope we do our little part here at Cheesehead TV with our morning podcast, Railbird Central. Unfortunately, folks, this is going to be the last episode of Railbird Central for about a week or so, as I myself go on a little bit of vacation, get a little bit of a respite here before the NFL season starts in late July as well. So time for me to rest up. Heading out to Red Rocks in Colorado to take in a concert over next weekend. So excited about that. But anyhow, thank you so much, folks, for joining us here this morning. We'll be back next week. I'm not sure. I think Wednesday of next week we'll be back, but follow me on Twitter. I'll make sure to update you on the status. But yeah, thanks everyone. On behalf of everyone at Cheesehead TV, have a great 4th of July. Have a great summer vacation yourself if you happen to be taking some time off as well. Have a good time spending time with your family, etc., etc. But yeah, let's rest up and get ready for a football season when we come back. So see you later, everyone. I'll leave you today with a song called Nemo by Umphreys McGee on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack Go.